So my theme for this morning is having a soundtrack to it. Hey, let's go. Is resurrection a reality? Because as we all know, as we've been saying, Easter Sunday is a time for celebration. And with that celebration comes an amazing reality for Christians, for all followers of Jesus. And that reality is the glorious power of the resurrection. The historical reality that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The Bible, that Christians believe comes from God, says that Jesus rose from the grave. And that, friends, changes everything about our life now, but also going forward. Because if we're followers of Jesus, we need to be living in the light of the resurrection reality. Our lives should be changed because of what happened at the resurrection. We can believe in Jesus. Now, you've already had a sneaky preview of a little film clip we're going to have. I thought, well, it's a bank holiday tomorrow. There's always an Indiana Jones film on, isn't there? So I thought, well, let's watch Indiana Jones this morning anyway. This is The Last Crusade. His dad, played by Sean Connery, is very unwell. And Indy needs to get hold of the Holy Grail because that might be what saves him. Sit back and enjoy. I do like a bit of Indiana Jones. Now, interestingly, this evening at the... and there's a reason for showing it, by the way. This evening at the joint service, I'm going to be looking at the passage just before the one that we had. This morning, I want to look at what happened after and how the resurrection reality can take us from doubt, as I believe Indiana Jones initially had when he looked at that cavern, to belief. How it can take us from doubt to belief. How can, because of the resurrection, we're able to believe even if we have doubts? How can belief overcome our doubts? As it did for Indiana Jones in the end. There was no room for doubt for him. I want to reflect on doubt, I want to reflect on belief, and I want to reflect on faith. What is faith in the light of the resurrection that we've been singing about this morning? The story from John's Gospel that Maria brought us is a good place to start. And I think even people who are not Christians will likely know this story, or certainly of the term Doubting Thomas. We all know the term Doubting Thomas. They'll know it as someone who refuses to believe something without direct personal experience of it. But I'm going to be honest here. I think it's pretty unfair that Thomas gets the blame for all this, gets this name of Doubting Thomas, when actually we know all the other disciples had their doubts too. Most of them struggled with unbelief as well before they saw the risen Jesus. Mark tells us in his gospel that Jesus had a right old go at them for doubting. In Mark 16, we read, "Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen." It was not just Thomas that had doubts. Looking at our reading, verse 19 of John 20 says, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" That's the context for this passage. Doors not just shut, they were locked. Now, of course, by this point, the Jewish leaders knew that the tomb was empty. And it was very likely that the Jews would start coming looking for the disciples to start persecuting them, maybe even killing them. Just a few days earlier, of course, the disciples had witnessed the Jews having Jesus, their master, the one that they followed, crucified. That horrible, painful, suffering death. So it's no wonder that we're told they were in fear of the Jewish leaders. Now, they've been hearing stories all day from some about Jesus having risen from the dead, but it seems, from what we just heard in Mark's gospel, that they hadn't believed those stories. And then suddenly, Jesus appears among them in the same room. He hadn't knocked, he hadn't walked through the door, he hadn't made any noise. He just appeared and then gave them the typical Jewish greeting, "Peace be with you." We read this in verse 24. "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came." Now we don't know why, we're not told that. Maybe he was just utterly miserable, too miserable to be around other people that evening. Anyway, verse 25. We hear that other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." So, of course, he's doubting, hence Doubting Thomas. Thomas didn't believe what he was being told. He had major doubts about what he was hearing. He wanted proof before he believed. The resurrection reality at that point meant nothing to Thomas. So what happens next? Well, from verse 26 we read, "A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. So though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them," and we know what he said, "Peace be with you." A week later. Interesting that Jesus didn't choose to appear to Thomas immediately. He had to wait a week before Jesus would give him his wish. And I think there's a point here for all of us that Jesus does confirm things to us, but he doesn't always do it immediately. And many of you will testify to that. You wonder why you're not hearing from him. Then at the right time, he will confirm something. Thomas had to wait a week. At that point, Jesus invites Thomas to do exactly what he said he wanted to do in order to believe. He invites Thomas to confirm that he is alive. He invites him to stop doubting and instead to start believing. He invites Thomas to understand the resurrection reality. You know, if you're truly a believer of Jesus, Jesus will confirm his presence when you need it. Often he'll do it through a friend, of course, or maybe the witness of the Holy Spirit in your heart, or through particular events. He might do it through scripture, a sermon, through an answer to prayer. He does what he needs to do to confirm to you that he is alive and that the resurrection was real. So what did Thomas do then? Verse 28, Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." So when the risen Jesus became real to Thomas, he was totally convicted and convinced of the resurrection, and then totally committed to Jesus. When Jesus confirms to us something we need to know, when he confirms to us that he is alive and a vital part of our lives, our response should be the same as Thomas. My Lord and my God. Verse 29, then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That isn't a challenge for Thomas. That's a challenge for us. Thomas believed because he saw. We have the blessing, as Jesus puts it, of believing without seeing Jesus literally raised from the dead. Another passage for you. Romans 10 verse 17 says, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." We have the blessing of believing without actually seeing Jesus raised from the dead. When I started training at Bristol Baptist College in 2004, I was warned that my faith would be challenged during the course due to things that would come up in lectures, and they weren't wrong. I found myself having to work through a number of questions and doubts during my time at college. You almost wouldn't expect that at a theological college, would you? But as I did so, I found my faith became stronger as I discovered the answers to the questions that I had. I allowed my doubts, which came along, to develop my faith. Doubt is at the heart of faith. And through examining and testing our doubts, we find that our faith is strengthened. What I want to say this morning is we shouldn't be afraid of doubts. Even when we have a reason to believe in the truth of Jesus' words, we often want more signs, don't we? More certainty. Let me tell you about this guy you might have heard of, John the Baptist. John the Baptist had many reasons to believe who Jesus was, and clearly knew who Jesus was. When Jesus came to be baptized by John, John greeted him by saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John saw the Holy Spirit descend as a dove upon Jesus, and he speaks of how he can bear witness that Jesus is the Son of God. He would have witnessed many of the signs and miracles that Jesus performed. So surely, John the Baptist could never have had doubts, could he? Well, when John the Baptist was in prison, we're told that he sent some of his followers to Jesus to ask him a pretty doubting question. Here's the next passage from Matthew 11. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, He went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?" John, who previously seemed so very certain of his faith, so very certain of who Jesus was, is now having doubts. What Jesus does is he simply tells them to go back to John and to tell him what they have seen and what they have heard of the signs and miracles that he had performed. The point is here, folks, is that if John the Baptist had doubts, then clearly the rest of us are likely to at some point. John had questions he needed to ask. We shouldn't be afraid of asking any questions that we have too. Because the resurrection reality will help us to turn those doubts into belief. You know, there's a story, you will know it, of a father who brings his son to the disciples to be healed because he can't speak due to being possessed by an evil spirit. The disciples can't heal the boy. So Jesus asks to see him. Then the man says to Jesus, "If you can do something, please do." This is what we read next. "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible for a person who believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." New Living Translation translates what he says is, "I do believe, but help me not to doubt." He believed, but he also had doubts. If we're honest, we all will have doubts at times, but that's okay. Doubt isn't the opposite of faith. I think it sits right at the heart of faith. Doubt will always be part of the journey of faith. What's important is that we're prepared to question or to doubt, because that will happen. It will be part of the journey we take with Jesus. But the resurrection reality will always give us cause to move beyond doubt and into belief. Sometimes we just need to take that step of faith. And a step of faith would not be a step of faith if we completely knew the outcome of that step. It would simply be a step. Without room for doubt, faith can't really exist, since the very nature of faith does imply uncertainty. So we need to accept that choosing to follow Jesus as a disciple means that we will sometimes come across doubts, come across uncertainty, come across questions, but that's okay. We need to allow the resurrection reality to take to remind us of what we believe. We need to allow the resurrection reality to take us from doubt to belief. So if you have any doubts this morning, then that is fine. I would just encourage you to look at the risen Jesus who we've been singing about this morning, who we've been hearing about this morning, who we've been celebrating this morning, and to remind yourself of the resurrection reality. And let Jesus help you to move from doubt to belief. You know, I'm just reminded as I say that, has anyone read the book Who Moved the Stone by Frank Morrison? Yeah, a few hands have gone up. This is a guy who set out to write a book to disprove the resurrection. And he spent ages gathering the evidence that he was going to prove once and for all that Jesus could not have been resurrected. By the end of the book, he was a Christian. Because by the end of the book, after he had studied the evidence, as he'd read around the topic, he realized that the resurrection was a reality. If we got doubts, remind yourself of the resurrection and allow those doubts, as I did, to strengthen and to grow our faith. Easter is an amazing time. It's amazing because of what happened on that Sunday. It's amazing because of the resurrection, because Jesus did not stay on the cross and Jesus did not stay in the tomb. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the truth of what we're celebrating today, that the tomb was empty because Jesus had risen and death had lost its sting. But Father, we acknowledge that as humans, Lord, we will have questions. We may sometimes have doubts. But help us to, when that happens, to look again at the resurrection, Lord, and see the reality of it. And help us to use any doubts that we may have to question them and to move from doubt to belief. Lord, I love that every time Marge prays, she prays those words, "We love you, Lord." And it is true. And we love you because of what you did for us by rising again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.